The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and spitting touched his tongue. Then he looked up to the heaven and groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened. His speech impediment was removed and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished and they said, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in unprecedented times. And what I mean by that in a way is that it's as if people that we may encounter, and we can even fall into the same trap, there can be this closed approach to others. What I mean by that is a closed approach in the sense of people enter into a conversation and it's no longer a dialogue. It often turns into a monologue. It often turns into, how can I fix this person or change this person? Versus how can I listen and seek to understand and pray and love this person? I don't know, maybe you've experienced it. Maybe you experienced this in your place of work. Or in your school, on the playground, or possibly playing sports or in a stadium at a game like last night, UGA versus Clemson. Not willing to listen to the people on the other side. But that idea of a closeness. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is the answer. For our times and all times. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I keep going back to Hebrews 13:8 and saying that because to remind ourselves that he is the same, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the answer. We can see in the gospel today how the people brought the deaf and mute person with the speech impediment to Jesus. Why would they have done that? Much like, you remember where they cut the hole in the roof and they lowered the paralytic down? Why would they have done that if the people who knew this person who couldn't hear and had a speech impediment somehow in some way had just an amazing heart and they wanted to do something good for him, so they bring him to Jesus. They bring him to Jesus. And Jesus, knowing his heart and the heart of everyone present, He chose to do an action, a physical, human, I can touch it action, with the hope of ultimately opening the hearts of all present there. Opening their hearts. And not only those there, you and me, his heart was wide open to us in that moment because he was carrying us and knew us in his sacred heart. And so it said, Jesus put his hands in his ears. He didn't have to do that. He didn't do that for the centurion. Centurion came up and says, hey, my servant's at home. My servant's at home. Hey, can you just, you don't have to come. Don't come. Don't worry about it. Just say the word and he'll be healed. And he wasn't even a follower, a Jew. He was a pagan. And our Lord says, there's no greater faith. And with that type of faith, I can heal him. He's been healed. Jesus could have done that with a blind man. He didn't need to. The Canaanite woman came up, worked her way through the crowd, right? Remember the woman with the hemorrhage? The woman with the hemorrhage? She just reached out and touched the tassel. That's it. And she was healed. Jesus took him aside. Put his hands in his ears. Those ears who he created as God. Those ears were meant to hear. And he was physically unable to hear. I don't know about you, but it's kind of gross. He spat and then touched his tongue. Ugh! I don't know. That probably would have grossed everybody. Oh, gross! Get me out of here! So Jesus did these things, physical things, to touch him, right? And then it said he looked up to heaven and he groaned. Oh! Why did he groan? He groaned at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend who was buried. Why did he groan? Was it for Lazarus? Was it because he was taking all that pain upon himself to prepare for his cross? Because when he takes our pain away, our suffering, everything, he takes it away. Everything we're suffering, physical or morally or whatever, it came at a cross, cost on the cross. Did he groan because of that? Or did he groan because of the lack of faith that was present there? At the tomb of his friend Lazarus, it said he groaned. Lazarus, come out. Come out. Man, he's all over the map with Scripture. But we need to know and see the relation between this person of Jesus who guides us. And so he groaned and then he cried out, Ephphatha, Ephphatha, be open. Be open. Not just physically open. Spiritually open. I don't think he was concerned about the heart of that deaf man. He may have very well been concerned about the hearts of everybody else around him that were spiritually closed. They were spiritually deaf. And through this thing, he was trying to get them to open up their heart. Ephphatha, be open. Be open to my good news. And if you are open, let me touch your tongue and proclaim it. Do not be afraid. Ephphatha. I'm going to share with y'all a story where I really wasn't too open. I thought, in a way, pride kind of kicked in. I'm like, okay, I'm a seminarian. I'm the prophet to the Gentiles. I got my suit on and I got a tie. When I was in the seminary, I had the great grace of driving the white box truck every Thursday. And I know this is live stream, so I just want to give a shout out to Bizzuto's up there in Cheshire, Connecticut, because they used to give us food on pallets. And it was the massive warehouse that served all the ShopRites, I believe it was, all over parts of Connecticut. So, I mean, massive. I'm talking like football field lengths with everything, with ice cream here and cereal there and huge rows and things that went up four times higher in the ceiling, you know, stacked up, and they had the lifts and everything. And so we'd show up there. I'd drive the box truck, and it was kind of nice because after lunch in the seminary, after all the classes, I got a little break, right? So I got to go make a visit to Jesus as we would in the tabernacle and then go jump in the truck and go to Bizzuto's. It was so much fun. So we'd show up and we'd back our white truck into the docking stations that you see, that the big, huge semis back up in. So we look like a teeny little Spark, you know, like a Chevrolet Spark. If y'all ever seen a Chevrolet Spark, right? I drove one of those in Chicago a little over a couple weeks ago. It's great in the city, but it had me white knuckling on the highway. It was like a Spark. So we back right up in and we're there. And then we get out and we go walking in and we go to the window thing, we go up and we'd be there and we had a time. And they all knew who we were. They knew we were Catholic seminarians. And then the person would come on the intercom and they'd say, the brothers are here, the brothers are here, the brothers are here. And all of a sudden you see the lifts coming out. Hey, brother, what's up, man? Offer prayer for my family. Hey, brother, how you doing? And every now and then you get a look like, oh, here they are. Here go these Catholics, man. They're getting free food. They're not paying for it, right? So you get a little this, you get a little loving, you get a little this. But everybody came scooting around, right? They're scooting around. They're all excited, right? And even someone come up, hey, Father, hey, you want us to knock over some pickles and we'll get, no, don't break anything, right? Because they give you the broken boxes, right? So anyways, we'd load up all the pallets and take them home. And then on Saturday, This would be a Thursday or Saturday. I had to go through the big pallets, like the watermelon box holders that hold everything. I mean, those big boxes that hold watermelons on a pallet. But it had cheese and yogurt, everything thrown in there. And we had to climb in and see, hey, this date is good, take it. This date is good, take it. So it was like a fun activity on Saturday. That was seminary. It was donation of food for everybody to eat. Then we'd load up some of it on Saturday, and we'd go down to Waterbury, Connecticut, and take it to the soup kitchen. And we'd physically hand it to the poor. St. Paul speaks about the poor. We hand it to them, and we talked about Jesus. We'd hand them holy cards. We'd hand them all this stuff. We'd be there, and they knew who we were. So one day, I go to Bizzuto's, and I show up there, and there was this truck right next to us. And I go in there, and everybody went from the intercom, brothers are here, brothers are here, brothers are here. And this guy driving the truck came right over me, and I was waiting for our pallets to come. And he comes over, and he had a mean look on me. And my heart started to sink, and he goes, so, you're a Catholic, huh? I'm a preacher man, too. I preach going down and come at me with scripture, and y'all do this and all that. So what happened to me is in my heart, right, I was like, I got to fix this guy. I got to change. So it was just 2 or 3 weeks of every Thursday I'd come, he was there, and he was waiting. It was like, we're going to face off. We're going to do it. So neither of us were listening. Our hearts were closed to each other. We're both trying to proclaim the good news, but we're just wham, 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 wham. And it was really raking my heart because I'd come home and my heart would have this anxiety in it, this angst in it, this unrest in it. And I remember going back before our Lord in the tabernacle of the seminary and just saying, Lord, this isn't right. Help me. Help me. Open me up. This isn't how we do it. The light came. The light came. Be open, Richard. Be open, Ephatha. Open your heart and bring me into this conversation. Bring me into this moment. Be open and invite him to be open. So the next week I went and I made my visit and I prayed and I said, all right, Jesus, I'm going to try. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try to be open, right? And I went to him and we got there and I said, hey. He came up all ready to go at it. And I'm begging the Holy Spirit. And I said, hey, you know what? Let's do this. Let's both be open. Let's bring Jesus into this conversation. Let's just make one commitment to start our conversation every time we meet with prayer and to end our conversation every time we meet with prayer. And I would like you to open up or open in prayer because I know you love Jesus because you know his word. It melted the whole situation. It was like Jesus, Ephatha, it was like you could see his heart open up, his eyes open up, it's through his eyes, you could see it, and it was like, then I closed the prayer at the end, and it changed the whole dynamic, and 4 weeks later, after beautiful conversations about the living word of God, acknowledging his love for Jesus, sharing my love for Jesus, praying together, encouraging each other, I found out that it was not about what it was all about. A good priest told me this once. You get in an argument, you get in tension, you get in those moments. Pause, pray, reflect. Because oftentimes, it's not about what it's about. His issue was, he had left the Catholic faith. He had left it because he was led the wrong way. And he had some wounds in his heart. But after praying together and accompanying each other and seeing his love, he opened that up and said, I left the faith because of this. And it was a deep family wound. And that's what moved him to take his path. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the rite of baptism. For every baby, after a baby's baptized, we got a beautiful little baby here. We come up to these babies, right on up to them, and I'll do it again because you parents, you can do this every night. And we say, may their ears be open to to the Word of God, and may their mouths proclaim the Word of God. He's smiling. Smiling. We sign their ears and we sign their mouths. But if we bless their ears, how can they hear if nobody's there to proclaim the good news? We need to proclaim it in our families. To not be afraid. To not be afraid to know that our ears have been blessed at our baptism. That Jesus and the priest and the prayer literally is in the baptism rite. Ephatha. Be open. May your ears be open to the Word of God. And may your mouth be open to proclaim the Word of God. Imagine, and I'm coming in for the landing, okay? Imagine if each one of us this week, just this week, just this day, don't worry about tomorrow, just this day, if we took all the conversations we were going to have to prayer, if we opened the living Word of God and allowed Jesus to shed light on the way in which He wants us to live, and if we took one brief moment in the week to visit our beloved Lord in the tabernacle and to kneel before Him and to hear Him say to you and to me, Ephatha, be open.